Welcome to CFRU 93.3 FM. This is Open Sources Guelph on Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm very sick today.
You've been replaced with a robot.
Not sick enough to make a joke, I guess. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Taking one for the team. I was going to say we're in tippity-top shape today, but... obviously not.
Speak for
anyway,
yourself.
Scotty Hertz here on mic one. I'm doing okay for now, but I'm sure by this time next week I will have succumbed as well.
Lord Tippity going, Top.
Lord Tippity Top will be here. Filling it.
Open Sources is CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen, and you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast from Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Today, we will talk about the Pope and why he's not ready to make nice and apologize for the abuses in residential schools, and we'll ask, what the hell?
Yes, actually, that's exactly what.
And then St. Clair Broadcasting's homage... I knew I was going to trip over that word even before I was sick. But St. Clair Broadcasting is homogenizing local broadcast news in the States, and it's finally getting a lot more attention, or just enough attention as it deserves. But Canada's not immune to this phenomenon either, and we'll talk about St. Clair and our own local examples here in Canada. And you may have never heard of the restaurant Antler, but animal rights advocates have certainly heard of Antler, and they're protesting the crap out of it, even as we speak, I think. I think they had a protest plan
it's
today.
Supposed to be, yeah.
But is protesting someplace using a sustainable food sourcing instead of, say, like McDonald's, ultimately self-defeating? We'll talk about that later at the end of the show, but since we're at the beginning of the show, we will start with the Ontario budget, which was delivered last Wednesday. It was kind of a little late for us to pull stuff together, and I think a lot of what was in the budget was previously announced in the weeks leading up, because this is really as much an election document as it is a legitimate government budget for the fiscal 2018-2019.
Yeah, I think we were talking about the throne speech, that it was a reflection of probably what would be in the budget, and it's looking that way. And it's raining money, folks! It's raining money! Money coming from the skies! $58.5 billion with a predicted $6.7 billion deficit with this budget, which we may or may not see. I think people are forgetting, or maybe not forgetting. It's our job to remind you that it's all pretty much pie in the sky at this point until we see the election. Once again, the Liberals covering all the bases, a little bit of something for everything, expanding on programs that were established. Well, they're calling it OHIP Plus, but it's for the seniors now as opposed to just the under 25s. Mm-hmm. What were the other nuggets? Free preschool childcare.
For 2.5 to junior K, I think.
That's covering that range. Gap after your mat or pat leave to when the kids go to kindergarten.
Yep.
And
well, junior kindergarten now.
Junior kindergarten, yes.
There's all day JK.
And there's some dental coverage in there too, eh? Like a bit of money for your teeth.
Literally a bit of money.
It's just a little bit, but I guess it's better than nothing. It's, well, probably good for a cleaning or something, but if you needed a root canal,
it's
you'd
probably,
be...
Yeah, it's enough for a checkup. You get 80% of your costs covered up to $400. So I think that would probably pay for a checkup and a cleaning, and maybe you could get one cavity filled. I think, you know, at least
it's small.
And at the end of the
and
day,
they fill
you
it with
would,
lead. No, they don't fill it with
and
lead.
And at the end of the day, you'd pay $75, basically. But it's you're right. It is something for everyone. There's more
except
capital.
Conservative, sorry.
Except the balance.
I don't want all that stuff.
Except the balanced budget and tax cuts. There was a $4 increase in the price of cigarettes too. So smokers not happy.
They're never happy, but less happy now, I guess. Eh?
More access to OSAP, more money for hospital infrastructure. That's about $16 billion in capital grants. $4.1 billion for the OHIP Plus. $750 annually to seniors who are 75 and over to help maintain their home. And I guess I could go to like things like the chair lift, the, you know, if you're not...
Yeah, the
if you're
the
not
one named the brand name, but the famous Acorn Stairlift.
Yeah, 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 there you go.
Rails for the bathroom or accessible bathtubs. Yeah.
Also, $300 million to hire a registered nurse for every long-term care facility. A 3% increase in the rates for Ontario Works and for disability support. And then if you live in Toronto or within 10 kilometers of Toronto, you can take a trip on Go Transit or the Union Pearson Express for $3.
Oh, I didn't hear that one. Like, yeah. Permanently?
Yeah.
So they cut the Up Express in half, and now it's cut even further. $3? That's like the price of TTC.
Yeah.
Airport for $3. I didn't hear that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Will it happen?
Well, I mean, it's. I would have rather have heard something about expanding regional transit. I think that's where we, you know.
Oh, definitely.
If you're going to Toronto, you have numerous options. If you're going to Hamilton, or even if you're going to Cambridge.
Yeah.
I could walk to Cambridge from my house faster than taking transit.
I was talking to somebody who Ubered it from Cambridge just because there's no options.
Well, yeah.
Zero. There isn't. I don't know how you'd get there on the
I bet you
Go bus or anything.
That an Uber from Cambridge to Guelph probably costs as much as getting a Greyhound ticket now.
Hmm.
To go
Which
to Kitchener
like
and then
transfer. $10 or $10?
For Greyhound?
Yeah.
No. It's like $15, $16 one for a round trip.
Oh, round trip. Okay, I was guessing at 10 for.
Well, Greyhound now has staggered pricing too. So if you buy it like far in advance, you get it cheaper.
I think Via does that as well, but you got to
Via's done that for
advance,
a while.
Right? You got to be like.
But this is something new for Greyhound because Greyhound, of course, has been reducing service, because they're still a for profit business. They are not.
Yeah.
Like Go Transit, a government.
I don't know why we don't have a Go Transit circuit that does like Kitchener, Cambridge in here.
But you can get a bus to
Cooksville,
yeah.
Where there is no train. There's one train.
Or Milton. There's no direct.
Just to the parking lot of Milton. Yay.
It's not even in Milton. It's the parking lot just off the 401 somewhere
this
outside.
This is
going
to have to do, people, and then you walk.
And then even then, I don't think there's any like connection from there to Milton. I think there's like one bus that runs Monday to Friday.
It's really quite
bizarre. You almost have to go all the way to square one to get a bus to Milton.
Yeah, and to Hamilton as well.
And to Hamilton, yeah. But I mean, Milton is closer than Hamilton even.
Mm-hmm.
So
can't get there.
I feel like this is not
We've
about
diverted,
the budget
but anymore. Yeah, no, but that's when talk turns to transit, we always go for it, right? So,
but I mean, I would have instead of like making it easier for people in Toronto or cheaper for people in Toronto to get around who already have a number of options to get from one end of town to the other, I would rather see the allocation of some resources here to make it easier just to get to frickin' Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have words with the candidates about that when the election comes.
It's top of mind. In fact, it'll be the first question, probably.
Yeah.
So what have the other parties said? Doug Ford, of course. You can't take care of the vulnerable when you have billions in debt. So for him, it's all about the debt and the deficit.
Well, there's
Horvath says, not enough. So we've got the opposite ends. And then the Liberals, I think Kathleen Wynne said, well, we must be doing something right because everybody's PO'd. I think that's the short version. I'm paraphrasing there.
Way to thread the needle.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Well, it was interesting with Doug because there's actually a tax increase in there for people who make, I think it was $71,500. You're going to pay a little bit more. So if you make $95,000 a year, you're going to be paying $168 more. And if you make $130,000 a year, you're going to be paying $200 more. And of course, this got Doug's attention. By saying, and he got into this exchange with the CBC reporter, but he's like, so he says, you got a family of five. This is more Jeff Foxworthy than Doug Ford because of Mike Cole. You got a family of five, you're paying an extra $1,000.
And might be like, rednecks, yes.
but then the CBC reporter pointed him, it's like, well, no, because even the kids are paying taxes in this scenario.
Babies are paying taxes.
You concocted? And he's like, no, it's just the math. It's five times $200. And then the CBC goes, so everyone in the house is making $130,000?
In his house, but because they're employed by him. No, I don't know. It's a bit of a stretch there.
It's, well, I mean, it's just, you know, the CBC editorial I read said, like, do you think maybe they, Kathleen Wynne kind of planned it this way to make Doug look like this purposely kind of like out there, that, you know, he was going to be defending or he was going to be against the tax increase on people who are doing better than the average Ontarian. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. To pull the wool over Doug's eyes, you really need to play things that subtle. But, I mean, it does speak to the fact that he was in lockup, too. This was something else that...
He was in the lockup?
I think he was in the lockup because he was making a joke about lock her up, which is, of course...
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. Right.
He was in there? That must be weird trying to do your thing.
Well, I think everybody gets locked up because you don't want people...
It's better than lockdown, I guess.
You're technically not supposed to leak any details until the actual budget announced, but I think everybody gets locked up, including MPPs.
So maybe not in the media section then. They're just sort of...
No, I don't think he's in the media.
It's more like lockdown, but no.
But that was the joke he made. It's like, you know, we should be locked up, Kathleen Wynne, because, you know, lock her up. And, you know, another 70-year-old woman, another 70-year-old grandma politician who should be locked up, blah, 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 blah. Good one, Doug.
Because she's coming for you. She's coming for your wallet. To be fair, I should mention, we've mentioned PC and NDP. Greens said that the budget should be authentic and not hold people hostage with power-buying promises. And I think there was a lot of that in there. I don't know about the buying of power, but the promises are, you know, they can promise the moon at this point. And you get a meteorite instead
There's an air of desperation to this.
Absolutely. This is the...
And it's also, it's been pointed out, and, you know, I'm not so big into the deficit hawk stuff, but, I mean, we are presently in a decent economic situation. Unemployment is fairly low. If we're not at full employment, we're probably pretty close. The minimum wage increase has not been the job killer that so many people said it was in January. And certainly if you drive around town here, certainly hasn't hurt local shops. Like the Market Fresh had a sign out. The McDonald's down the Gordon Street has "We are hiring." That's the second time I've seen that on that sign this year. Rona was on Magic FM practically begging people to drop off their resumes.
Rona
in
town?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So
Dawson?
On Dawson.
Yeah. Formerly Beaver Lumber or whatever it was.
Oh, good Lord. That's a flashback.
It was Cashway, right? Never mind. But yeah. Back in my day.
So glad Beaver Lumber is going to get that 2 cents from name recognition anyway.
Anyone over 50.
Whoever owns the estate of Beaver Lumber.
They're talking about us again. I don't believe it.
But yeah, it's the minimum wage increase that hasn't done anything to dull the jobs numbers. Things economically seem to be fairly good right now. So we're running a deficit. I mean, this is the same question you're asking in the United States about, you know, deficit spending. Why is there deficit spending at a time when there's economic prosperity and the markets are way up and unemployment is down? And now this is just, they've predicted or they've planned out 6 years of deficits. And it's, you know, that means there'll, but if theoretically, if the Liberals win and this, they execute the plan as laid out, there will be 2 decades in this province where there will be only 1 year out of 21 when there would have been no deficit.
Right.
And again, I'm not a deficit hawk guy.
No.
You know, sometimes, and I realize that despite the, on paper, what looks like good economic times are not good for everyone. You know, good economic times don't hit everyone in the same way. But that's still not good. That doesn't look good, I mean.
Yeah, and I can't believe I'm going to make the right wing point, but I will. That it would seem by 2021 the debt will be $325 billion. So it sounds like the servicing of the interest on that debt will, and everything will cost about 22% of all the revenue in. So it's not as if, even if they somehow magically balance the budget, there's still that to deal with, which I've heard is higher than California's. But no one's talking about that yet, right? I'm sure it will come up when
I've heard
when
it
the
come
Ford
up.
Harris Tories win and possibly win. allegedly, and just start cutting. But, I mean, it didn't work for Mike Harris either, did it? So it's still there.
Well, it worked for a while, but, I mean, they were caught up in the 90s boom across North America to the internet bubble days, so... You know, yeah. it was good times for a while, but I mean, in so much
unless
as
you're in affordable housing or assisted housing, among other things, on benefits of any description. Yeah.
But I mean,
we're not in the business of paying for those people. It could happen again.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's worth noting that there still hasn't been any official plan released from the Tories about what they're going to do.
They might not actually see one.
No,
because they've killed off the Brown plan. They don't want to do anything in that, including carbon tax. Gone. People's guarantees, because what do I got now? The people's choice.
People's choice. I was going to say, won't Loblaws have a problem with that, but that's president's choice.
Yeah, how many cricket powder stories were there this week? Do you see any of that? I know it's nothing to do with what we're talking about, but...
Speaking of crickets...
Speaking of powder...
Number 58 in the list of truth and reconciliation recommendations out of 94 was an apology from the Catholic Church and its head, which is presently Pope Francis, because 2/3 of the residential schools in Canada were run by the Catholic Church. And Prime Minister Justin Trudeau went to the Vatican himself and appealed to the Pope to do this. And Pope was like, yeah, well, I'll definitely think about it. And thanks for stopping by. And no, the Pope has politely declined. Or it wasn't even the Pope. It was like the Canadian Cardinal Caucus. This Triple C. I don't know if that's the actual name. But they said, no, the Pope's going to take a pass on apologizing. And everyone kind of bangs their head against the desk because here's the Catholic Church doing something that should be relatively easy. And because everyone, including the Pope himself, has expressed sorrow for what happened at these residential schools. And I was reading again today the CBC article about what happened at St. Anne's, where they had a homemade electric chair to help, quote unquote, beat the Indian out of young Indigenous people. And so when you read the word homemade electric chair, and the guy who's the head of the organization that came up with the idea of having a homemade electric chair in the residential school says, you know, we don't really have anything to apologize for. That's effed up.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And apologizing is probably the simplest thing you can do. I don't know if there's some fear that it's going to have to come with reparations or something.
Well, they've already agreed to a settlement, though.
No, well, I'm not sure why he can't apologize. Because in 2015, Francis, who was relatively newish, I think, at that point, apologized for the grave sins that the Roman Catholic Church was complicit in the colonial era in Latin America. Now, of course, being an Argentinian, he's on home turf there. But it's easy to say sorry. Harper government did it.
Yep.
The other churches that were involved with residential schools, Anglican, Presbyterian, the United Churches have all apologized and said, we are sorry.
Yep.
And the Indigenous people have accepted, I mean, obviously not everything that went with that, but there was obviously a presence there. And they're like, yes, thank you for apologizing. Like you say, it's on the list. Is it the 94 recommendations? But yeah, and it's problematic in that they said that that Francis can't personally issue an apology. So they're making it sound like that he can't say it. I mean, he could. Why the reluctance if it isn't money? Is it racism? Is it, what is it? I know
I don't know, but this is...
just, it should be. He's already apologized for other grave sins of the Catholic Church, yet he can't do this one for some reason. But why? He's taking a pass.
This is a pattern with the church, though. And if you think about, like, sex abuse survivors, you know, the Pope confessed, not like confessed, capital C confessed.
But done a bad job.
He was asked about this woman, I think her name was Marie Collins, but she was on this panel investigating, like, sex abuse cases. She was a sex abuse survivor from Ireland, but she got fed up and left because... she didn't feel like they were moving fast enough on addressing some of these ongoing concerns in the Catholic Church about kids who have been sexually abused by priests. And Francis was asked about that, and he said, you know what? Yeah, we have not done enough to sort of address this backlog of of cases that people have brought forward. And that was like a whoa moment that he would, because otherwise Francis, despite the fact of numerous progressive measures on his part on climate change and you know, war and refugees and all that, poverty, his dedication to addressing poverty, he does not want to touch the sex abuse. Not that anybody in the Catholic Church does, and you only need to look so far as Cardinal Law, who was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. He was the head of the Archdiocese in Boston when that all was revealed.
Spotlight.
Yes.
Yep.
That was, yes. But yeah, he was not, he retired from the diocese, but then he was promoted to position of the Vatican. When he died last year, he was still in the Vatican. The safe house.
Yeah.
Right. And there are a number of other cardinals who've been culpable in this, who were promoted and brought into the bosom of the Vatican, where bad reporters can't hound them about it anymore. And it's just, this is just another one of those things, you know. It's if we sit here quietly and not, you know, talk about it, it'll go away. And it's like, well, it can't go away. The Prime Minister of Canada went to his office or wherever and said, hey, look, this is terribly important in order for us to reconcile our, you know, our terrible past in terms of the treatment of these people. And it would mean a lot. It wouldn't just be like a mitzvah. Like, we're just glad to hear your apology. It's just like to have the culpability of the people who did the vast majority of the bad things, for them to openly acknowledge it and ask for and offer apologies and ask for forgiveness. Especially the Catholic Church does make a big deal about out of asking for forgiveness. That's a powerful message.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to solve the problem, obviously, but I mean, it's a powerful first step. And to hear it come from the Pope's mouth, if you're doing on the balcony or wherever the Pope does stuff, or just if he issued a letter, but I think it's
spouting off in the Pope mobile.
But then the cardinal said too that, you know, maybe he could like come over and like next time he's in Canada, maybe we can like have a sit down. It's like, I don't think they want to sit down. I think Aboriginal people know they were wronged, and I think the Pope knows they were wronged. So what are they going to talk about?
Yeah, and this story is kicked off, and then it got a bit sidelined because of the Pope essentially saying there was no hell, and the Vatican Communications Department had to mobilize and kind of bury that story because it's like, that's big. This is the Pope saying no hell. It's not really hell. You're just kind of gone. So no hell equals probably no heaven as well. But, you know, it was an actual earthly hell for anybody in a residential school, right? So
not to get off topic, but I'm pretty sure hell was one of those things that the church kind of adopted later on. Like,
yeah,
how in the beginning Superman didn't fly, he just leapt tall buildings, and then when the cartoon
in a single bound
he could fly. And the church was a lot like that with hell. Just eventually one day someone had the idea that there was this thing called hell, and everyone's like, yeah, cool, hell, yeah, that's a thing. But go on.
I'm laughing at the Superman comparison in this picture.
It's true. Kryptonite too. Kryptonite wasn't part of the original Superman mythology.
Kryptonite created was added a in complete the hell for Superman on Earth. So I completely lost where I was going to go. So yeah, I mean, he seems to be more personable and approachable than Benedict was. Benedict's approach to the indigenous / residential school question was, this is a direct quote, "The Indians silently longed to become Christians." Saying the people that were abused by nuns and priests and everybody like were secretly doing God's work or something. It's garbage.
That's also like saying
that's why Benedict got retired.
That's like saying, you know, sending 40. Kids to conversion camp, you know, makes, you know, everyone makes them not want to be gay anymore because it's a choice, y'all.
No, they only care about a fetus till it comes out of the closet, right? So when it grows up. But, and I say they, well, I mean, this, you know, that is a broad brush, but there was, again, a little bit of a sideline, too, because it was Julie Black mentioned this in her takedown of, did you see Julie Black take down Jeannie Becker?
Yes.
And she actually mentioned this about, well, the Pope, the book she was defending was, what, The Marrow Thieves, which is a sort of future dystopian vision of It's pretty much about residential schools, I think, on the whole, although it's futuristic. Sounds like a great book, and I really want to read it. I don't even know what one Canada reads, but I know about the Marrow Thieves now because of Julie Black. But when I was watching that, she said, the Pope won't apologize for this. And I was like, wow, somebody else is saying, yeah, damn right. So, along with us, I suppose.
Julie Black shows you the way.
Julie Black. We should get Julie on the show, actually. Or...
Yeah, sure. She might do it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's not my Facebook friend, but blacked her. We really got sidetracked there. No, but
you're right about Francis being more approachable and more open than Benedict. Benedict was kind of the God the Father Pope, and Benedict or Francis is more on the mold of, it's quite typical of the Jesuits, more on the mold of sort of Jesus' original 10 teachings, which is why this is such a slap in the face, because he's supposed to be the cool Pope, the progressive Pope who sort of has his finger on the pulse more.
Didn't the popes of the past ban the Jesuits like at least a couple of times, right?
Right. And I mean, this is the Pope too who said, you know what? Believe, don't believe. We'll save you a spot in the afterlife. That's me.
Sounds like a bit of an open door policy there.
Yeah, he basically said heaven has an open door policy. Open bar, maybe. I don't know.
That I'd go in for him.
Then he does stuff like this, and it reminds you that this is still an institution that you have to drag kicking and screaming into the 20th century, let alone the 21st century. I mean, this is the group that, you know, finally got around to saying, you know what, Galileo was right 350 years after he was dead. Maybe we shouldn't, you know, make him maybe we should take him off the enemy of the state list now, you know. It's like, this is how fast this organization moves. So, you know, residential schools, heck, some of them were still open like in the 80s. So,
yeah,
maybe we should be glad that he offered sorrows at least, given the pace of the way change happens in the Catholic Church. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they should just say, look, Francis, apologize, or we're going to defund all the Catholic schools in Canada. And he would probably apologize pretty quickly. And they should defund all the Catholic schools in Canada anyway. But I think Ontario is one of the last holdouts.
Seven out of 10 already have.
Yeah. Let's make it a clean sweep. So,
but I don't think we even need the threat. I just need to you know, what's the thinking here? Somebody, I can't remember where I found it, but somebody made the point that there's still $25 million from a settlement that the Catholic Church has not paid out. They're supposed to be paying into this fund that's supposed to foster healing from people, from survivors of residential schools, that's supposed to help pay for their treatment and things. That check is still outstanding. And so, you know, my question is, what's the thinking here? Are they, you know, Pope said, oh, I apologize. And then Perry Belgrade, takes a subpoena out of his pocket and okay, Pope, you've been served.
Yeah.
Is that the thinking here? No, I don't think the First Nations people are really saying, are rubbing their hands now we can get litigious with the church. It's just, it's reconciliation, that which is the second word of that that report. That, you know, it's about recognizing, because it's hard to move past when you have one side that feels sorry for what happened, but doesn't take responsibility for what happened. Which is, I think, something Carolyn Bennett said. It's easy to say you have sorrow, but it takes things to another level when you can't say that you take responsibility as an institution. Even, you know, we can't, you and I are both white. We can't take direct responsibility for stuff that happened that white people did to black people of the past, or Asian people of the past, or indigenous people of the past. But we can recognize that as white people, we have a certain status and privilege that was based on that bloodshed of ages past, and work to address that in the here and now. And I think that's what people want from the Catholic Church.
We try. I think we'll leave it at that now. Is that
yeah, that suits me.
Fair enough, Spot. Take it to the altar, man.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Take it to the CD machine.
Take it to the CDs.
And
take
we're going
to the
play.
Limit.
We're going to play some music and then come back with the rest of the show. You're listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
That was Whoop Zoll from their CD. I believe it's called Part 3. Maybe it's part 3 of a 3-CD set. I don't know. It was in the pile for Kazoo Fest, which is next week. All next week, Kazoo Fest, sponsored by CFRU and many other fine businesses. Ed Video as well. I'll give a shout-out to them.
Cornerstone, Meridian.
Cornerstone, Meridian.
City of Guelph.
Government money, of course, Wellington Brewery. So there will be some SPA there for me to drink. Kazoo.ca for the complete lineup and when shows are and what you can go and see. And Whoopso are playing it. They are playing Saturday at 8 p.m. Dublin Street Church, sponsored by Sappy Fest and us. So
we
check
should,
it out.
We
a
should
fest
probably,
sponsored by another fest is pretty cool.
We should probably mention, too, that next week there will be a number of live performances from Kazoo artists who will be passing through CFRU. And there will be a video component. There will be the famous CFRU green screen the bands will be performing against. And that will be video plus live to air on the radio. And that's all next week, too. And then I believe also CFRU is broadcasting live from the Print Expo on Saturday as
Wild.
Well.
And one of those live performances is before us next week. So
yes. If we're a little
a
bit
little
late.
Bit of a heads up.
If we're a little bit late, don't be afraid.
Just enjoy the tunes, whatever they might be. Maybe it's Whoopzo. We don't know.
Oh, it might be.
I hope you're I'm saying your name right,
Whoopzo. There was an email about that.
check the files, boys.
Check the files. We have detailed files.
Speaking of files, ha! Sorry, I don't.
Right.
Filed under what?
Filed under what, indeed?
Filed under what?
This is weird because in Canada, we're kind of used to media consolidation already, and we'll get into that in a bit. But in the United States, if you're watching an NBC station, in many places, it's probably not owned by NBC. It's probably owned by this company called St. Clair. And they own 193 stations across the United States. They are presently in a bid to buy from Tribune Media another 200 stations, which will give them a media saturation of 72% of American homes. Now, the reason why this is concerning, and you may have seen that viral video of anchors.
The supercut
from several St. Clair-owned stations complaining about propaganda and fake news, is that St. Clair is a remarkably pro-Trump company, and they've been running these, what they call must-run segments. They feature, well, there's one that's particularly odious, that's the terrorism alert desk, and
that's right,
where it
women are wearing burkinis alert,
right? It's
this
an around the world
alert.
Muslim terrorism, to be precise.
Yeah,
Muslim extreme terrorism.
It's pretty much the Muslim alert,
more or less. But then even more odious is this character Boris Epstein, who worked on the Trump campaign, but who is, and I quote, St. Clair's chief political analyst. And he does these segments where he basically talks about why what Trump is doing is awesome and why all of Trump's enemies up to and including the mainstream media are lame and haters and liberal deep state conspiracy, et cetera, et cetera. There's been some blowback against this. There was a guy in Nebraska who worked for a St. Clair station who has quit because he can't take it anymore.
He's mad as hell and he ain't going to take it. Yes, of course.
More or
Network.
Less.
Check that movie out.
That's an oddly prophetic film.
Yep.
There was a Vox piece today that was, I guess, collectively written or collectively signed off on by many St. Clair employees who basically say they are stuck, how they would very much like to not do this and read these propaganda things or throw it after sports and weather to Boris Epstein and his Trump cheerleading. Are stuck because there are apparently some pretty steep, and this was covered by Bloomberg too, some pretty steep financial penalties if you try and quit a St. Clair station. Like, they can make you pay, like, salary
back.
You
didn't read your contract, did you?
Right.
Yeah, and this is the thing, one of the key differences between this and what I found interesting compared to Canada. Like, in Canada, if you're watching a CTV station, regardless of where you are in Canada, you pretty much know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
With St. Clair in the States, they own Fox stations, they own CBS stations. You name the media network with the exception of maybe PBS.
Indie stations like WGN. I mean, the WGN is one of the Tribune stations they want to buy. So.
Yeah, so it'll get to the point where Sinclair pretty much own all of the stations. But that what was interesting about this, their declaration of the fake news, is that they seem to be the trigger for a lot of Trump's significant freakouts was after the
and there have been many
the late night one of his first big time late night freakouts was the over Obama's wiretapping
where
he
was
seems to have a call. We'll get to you eventually, folks. We are on
this
the air
is not the right call in portion of
no,
the show,
but
I
it
can't
sounds
stress
like
that
it
enough.
Might be so.
Chicago, you're on the line.
They also have, I didn't realize, have on call number one. They have an online division called Circa.
Omaha, Nebraska, you're on the line.
Which has been called the new Breitbart. And
for those of you sick of the old Breitbart.
Yeah, the new Breitbart, Circa. So Sinclair have a hand in everything, and they own a whole ton of stations. Sounds like they're going to own more. I guess that hasn't really been approved yet. It's been
lingering for a while. No, it's pending approval.
It probably will be, though. And if it isn't, Donald Trump will come up with a bill.
There's been no indication that it won't be approved. But you're right there, because the flip side of it, too, is that there's presently a trial about whether or not AT&T will be allowed to buy Time Warner, which owns, among other things, CNN.
Well, because they're fake news, so they won't be allowed to, right? Is that fake news?
This is one of the things.
And you have fake news.
I think this is one of the things that we struggle with, or that some people are struggling with. So if you are not in favor of St. Clair, I don't think you can be in favor of the CNN AT&T merger. I don't think you can be in favor of any of these things, because it's all about media consolidation. And to bring this back to Canada, we are actually the worst in the G8 for media consolidation. What that means is that 81.4% of Canada's TV distribution is also controlled by the people who create or control the content, because Canada media companies buy a lot of American stuff and then control it and then run it on Rogers on demand or Bell on demand, depending on the service you get, and that's the only way you can get certain things. And I saw that on the weekend when I was watching Star Wars on Showcase. They were advertising. You can get all the Star Wars movies on demand if you have Showcase on demand, which of course is only available to Rogers and Shaw customers, not Bell customers.
Yeah, because the Star Wars movies were on Netflix and they seem to be gone, right? They're there.
Well, they've had the new ones, because that's part of the distribution deal with Disney. They've had the new ones on there, Force Awakens and Rogue One.
But the old school, yeah.
But the old ones, the first six, no.
Yeah, so and I guess it goes obviously beyond TV and radio and whatnot. There was in the news this week, interestingly, in the I think it was mentioned in the Post of the Star, mm-hmm. who are both implicated in this. The Competition Bureau is investigating the deal, and we spoke about it before, how the Post and Torstar did an exchange of a lot of small market newspapers and then shut them down. And now the Torstar has come back and is rebranding the free metro papers across the country, I guess, presumably to give them a bigger presence in those. They're not necessarily smaller markets, because I think one of them is Vancouver, Calgary.
Well, they're the big places where there's a lot of people on the move and get on public transit and just want to grab something to read. And you see this when you're in Toronto at 8 o'clock in the morning, everyone's heading down to the subway and everyone grabs a metro just so they don't have to look at other people on the subway.
And that's the thing. Yeah, or keep it up as a germ guard when somebody's barking their head off. But the that's the thing now, is that the papers are generally seem to be free. I've noticed like the Star, which is my preferred choice of paper generally, if I buy a physical paper, although the paper box around the corner from us is busted and you can just take one if you want. I won't say where it is, I suppose. I just looked one day, I was like, oh, it's open. Why is this open? That's how much they care. It used to be, oh my God, the paper box won't lock. So now it can lock. Their entire content seems to be free online, and it's always
text Scotty after the show.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know where the paper is? Give me 50 cents. All the stuff that I read in the paper that I did get, I had already read online. It was verbatim too. There doesn't seem to be a paywall. I guess the Post is heading in that direction too. Like the physical newspaper doesn't even really matter anymore, and they're not even a daily anymore, are they? The National Post.
National Post.
What days is it published? It doesn't publish every day anymore, does it? We just have some random papers, and if you get one, fine, and if you don't, well, whatever.
Being someone who doesn't buy a National Post, I don't know, but
I've only ever acquired them for free. I wouldn't buy.
I
the
know
National
that
Post,
they
so.
Did that for a while there. They weren't running on Mondays in the summer,
but in. This is almost a sidebar as well, but they, what is their new project? Follow the Money. It's like who donated what money to whom.
Right.
Political money. It seems Conrad Black gave some money to the Liberals, which as a non-Canadian and a convicted felon, probably, you know, shouldn't have. But
I'm
he's
literally
on the list.
Shocked that Conrad Black did something shady.
It was only $1,500, but you know, what's $1,500 between friends? I'm surprised he was given to the Liberals, but hey.
Yeah, there's the,
so
the Pinko
I still there. Have issue one in the filing cabinet somewhere. So I think John Glenn is on the front of it. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I'm a first and last. There's a lot, been lots more lasts than firsts lately. So watch the papers die.
Wow.
No, it's true, though. Dark. I mean, I love them, but they're going, right? It's like my phone's trying to tell me, you know, here this. I've got push notifications coming out my ears.
But the Metro rebrand, it seemed to escape notice that it was actually did the exact same thing that St. Clair did, where they ran this editorial from Catherine Bradbury that was like word for word, except for the first line, which was like, we're expanding in Vancouver or Edmonton. And then the rest of the piece was exactly the same, and they had a picture of the local team. And but it's the exact same thing.
Yeah,
it's like, here we are, we're super local, and actually not so much. And I do wonder how much of this ultimately will, you know, in a year from now, we're going to hear about the cuts to these, and they're going to be filled with wire copy. And they keep trying the same old stuff. Oh, we'll rebrand, we'll redesign, and...
And they're hiring, too, aren't they? After firing all the people in the small
yeah,
market
they're
papers,
20.
They're hiring 20.
They're hiring 20.
Do you apply?
No.
No? Okay. I don't know. No, damn it. I want to keep doing this.
I can only imagine what the competition is for those jobs. I'm kind of doing my own thing anyway, but it's...
And doing it well, by the way.
Thank you. I wasn't fishing for that.
You should see this guy. I can't even believe he's here. I can't believe he's standing yet. He's given her. 24/7.
I taped two broomsticks
Your news
on my
now.
Back so I can promise.
Yeah, he's like, he's barely alive.
But, political. Yeah, it's so bizarre that this and it seemed to not go remarked upon. I saw Jonathan Goldsby of Canada Land tweet about it, and it seemed to go unremarked other places. But it just in the same week you have St. Clair doing this, and I know we kind of sneer at St. Clair because of the Trump connections. But I mean, if you sneer again, it's an equal opportunity offender. If you sneer at that, you have to sneer at Metroland, like
neutral
rubber
sneerage.
Stamping an editorial that says the exact same thing in three different papers as it tries to make this appeal that they're super local and super dedicated to covering local stories. And that just really doesn't seem the case.
And just for the record, we don't do that here. Everything you hear is fresh and locally sourced and...
That was an excellent segue.
I'm trying.
There's this shop, this restaurant in Toronto called Antler. And if you're not a big fan of game meat, it's probably no wonder why you had never heard of it until last week when animal rights advocates were protesting. Not their first protest. This was like their sixth protest. And the head chef and owner of the restaurant, whose name... oddly enough, is Michael Hunter. Brings out a rack of deer legs, starts carving it up in front of the protesters, and then eats it after he cooks it, of course.
I wouldn't be surprised if he'd eaten it raw.
That would be a mad respect situation. But no, he did this, and it got all this media attention, which is probably what they wanted, because reservations have gone way the heck up at Antler. And all these animal rights protesters. And the question a lot of people are asking, and I think it's justified, it's like, why are you pouring out your anger and frustration at a small, local Dundas Street restaurant when you can walk up to Yonge and Dundas Square and find any number of big-name chain restaurants that are doing factory farming and buying things in bulk, things that are steroids, filled with steroids and hormones and all that, and bother them.
Yeah, I think it started off that somebody took umbrage with something that was written on the chalkboard. It said,
yeah,
venison is the new kale.
Right.
And they didn't like that. Or one of the campaigners was offended, which is all, like, to me, this is like the stuff white people like list fighting with itself, right? You've got somebody who's offended.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got gentrification. You've got the vegans. You've got expensive sandwiches.
This is the first world problems fight.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I remember little, it's in Little Portugal. I don't know what was in the store before it was Antler. And I actually don't have a problem with what this person is doing or this restaurant is doing, because, and I think I've told this story before about how I lived in Northern Ontario and didn't have much money, and somebody would come by with a bag full of moose steaks. You'd be like, oh, thanks. This is fantastic. And I had never had it, but it was like, and, you know, you can see the logic up there where it's like, you know, people do actually do eat the top to tail. They don't eat the antlers. They keep them around, I guess. But so they're trying to echo that with this restaurant. And like you say, it's like, well, why not the chains? I mean, maybe the chains is like, it's been done. You know, we've had the McDonald's, the McLibel protests and people charged, and McDonald's is just going to keep doing what they're doing. But this definitely seems somebody took something personally and was offended. And actually, the carving up of the deer leg. And somebody called the health department on him. I guess because the video was so worldwide. And of course, it passed with flying colors. I mean, they probably said, okay, you know what? You probably shouldn't do that again. There's been no arrests. There's been no tickets. There's been no charges. It's just, they're just there. They have vegetarian options on the menu. I looked at the menu. There's six choices.
Yeah.
They're not vegan, but I thought that was interesting to me. It's like this place, which is like, you must eat meat from the forest, and mushrooms, drinks that we forage the mushrooms. It's like, I personally would never eat any mushroom I saw in the forest. You trust these people know what they're doing, but there's certain things you can pick out the flora of the forest that would really mess you up. Magical mushrooms, maybe? I don't know. But you're not going to drink a smoothie made of them.
But fungus is so tasty.
Yeah, exactly. So this is just, I hope this, I kind of hope this peaks and peters out because I'm sort of, but at the same time, it's like, oh, this is just so ridiculous and so.
It's, right. It reminds me of, on different scales, mind you, but it reminds me of what happened in Hamilton with the ungovernables. And how people are like, well, why are you attacking, like, small businesses and like, all these, like, independent people, these people trying to scrape a living? Why don't you go attack the Starbucks? That's the black block. You know, you're attacking the brand names. And it's like, well, it's like a total, you have to walk up the road, like, 10 more minutes.
And then the right-wingers have a protest. I mean, far right show up and want to support your business by buying donuts. It's like, I'm sure that company is just like, could you all just please go away and get back to like buying the donuts?
I mean, that's what's interesting about what Antler's kind of pulled out of all this engagement period. And it's like, I think what they got out of it, what they wanted to get out of it, which is like a lot of reservations.
Patton Oswalt's going.
Yeah.
Next time he's in town, he's going to go. Yeah. So. Guillermo del Toro will probably go as well because he loves all that stuff. So.
Guillermo, he looks like a man who enjoys a meal.
Well, he likes the donut store that got smashed up, right? He specifically mentioned it. What is it called? Like Horror Monster Donut or something? Anyway, he likes it. So it's,
that was 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's so past. But we can't keep up with what white people like anymore. But
yeah, they actually asked one of the organizers, her name was Maury Ujar. Like, why are you doing this? And instead of going to McDonald's, and she's like, well, who am I going to sit down with at McDonald's? And it's like, oh, okay,
Ronald,
now I get it.
The grimace.
Now I get it. It's about you. And it's who are you going to talk to and who are you going to negotiate with? And, you know, yeah, McDonald's is the more obvious target, but, you know, you can't inject yourself. Like, you're not going to be talking to Michael Keaton or whoever runs McDonald's. I know that was a movie, the founder, but
I knew you said that. I knew exactly. Like, yeah, the founder.
Like the McDonald's.
We watch
brothers.
A lot of movies, folks. Adam more than I, but yeah. It's,
apparently.
That's a good one, actually.
Whoever. Yeah, it is good.
Every topic today has had a movie reference to do it. Right?
Whoever's in charge of McDonald's now, whether it's Michael Keaton or whoever it is, they're not going to sit down with this woman. And so she's targeting a local business that is actually making an effort to say, you know, we're going to do things a sustainable way. We're going to get locally sourced stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it should be the dream, right? It's like, I mean, I don't know where you get that much venison to use in a restaurant because, I mean, any food process, especially, you know, McDonald's is industrial. You've got industrial levels of food. This sounds like it's trying to be at least the exact opposite, locally sourced. The guy's a hunter. His name is Hunter. He hunts things. You would think that this would be the your model. Optimum. Yeah. And even if you weren't a meat eater, vegetarian, vegan, or what have you, you would think this would be the goal, the target to have restaurants like this that are like, I don't know, is it because did Bambi affect people that much that, you know, the Maybe. Death of Bambi's mother is like... It's really, I mean, there was a point, you know, people ate deer in Toronto all the time. I don't know where the line is where it changed, probably when it went industrial, but it's not as if it's
new. It was probably when there was a lot more forest around.
Well, no, yeah, but I'm saying it's like, it's not as if it's no. completely foreign to Toronto.
No, it's...
you want to see the people who are cooking a little Portugal in their backyards on Easter? Oh, my goodness, you know. Right? But that's...
Right. No, you're right. It's... yeah, this is the kind of model we want, I think. And certainly there are places in Guelph that make a good point of trying to, you know, things like the Woolwich Arms and Borealis, yeah. where, like, you know, we're locally going to source our ingredients and tailor our menu that way, Baker Street Station, too. But this sounds like it's all about getting attention, mm-hmm. Making people do what you do, you know, which is not eat meat. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to say this straight up. Vegans are some of the least healthy-looking people I know. I worked with a vegan for years at Zeller's. She was a waitress in the Zeller's restaurant. I worked in electronics, which was right next to the restaurant.
Like the worst. Everything's like a roast beef sandwich at the Zeller's restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Clearly,
she's sneaking it behind the freezer there.
I doubt it because this girl spent all winter sick. And it's because she wasn't getting the vitamins and protein the old-fashioned way.
Was it... Also, all she talked about? I mean, you knew she was
no,
a vegan.
She wasn't. No.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I find with this, right? It's like, and part of the challenge, too, I mean, with, say, the antler side of things is that most people can't afford to eat at a place like that. It would be like a special trip or something.
No, that's a night
There
out.
Are more people eating at McDonald's.
Yes.
I'm not even just, like, McDonald's even have a vegetarian option? Probably. They do now, right? You got a salad or something.
I don't know if McDonald's fries. Does. I know Burger King has a veggie burger.
I had it many, many years ago in the UK. I had one of the best veggie burgers I've ever had at Burger King.
That's so interesting, too, because my friend...
That was years ago.
You're right, because my friend Soch, when we went to the United States to do some Sin Studios work, and when we got over the border, the first thing we did was we stopped at a Burger King so we could get a veggie burger, because they were good veggie burgers.
This happened to be Soch who works in the graveyard, isn't it?
Aaron? Aaron Soch?
Oh, last name. Okay, never mind. It's first name. We're just... It turned into, hey, you know that guy?
It turns out we
monuments.
Don't have
His
a lot of
Satch.
Friends in common. Okay.
No. We should probably sort that out off air, but anyway.
Yeah, we should.
We will.
It's almost off air time. Should we wrap it up?
Wrap it up.
Okay. That is it for the show. We will have AmeriCam Guthrie on April the 26th. And then I imagine after that we're going to get into election stuff pretty hard. The writ will probably be dropped around that time, and so we'll start having Boom. Our local candidates in. There have been 3 acclaims so far. Oh. I know there is the NDP one is coming up on April the 21st, I believe. And so that's going to be some very busy times. We'll keep you posted on all this on opensourcesguelph.com, opensourcesnewswire on Facebook, and at @OS_Guelph on Twitter. You can find our podcast on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean and through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. I am on Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson, or go to guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca.
I like that, Adam Twitter. I'll call you that now. Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and at blogspanderbook.wordpress.com. There is a newish thing there. Please check it out.
There is a newish thing.
Newish.
DJ Sounds Good to Me is here at the top of the hour on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio, and we'll be back here at our same bat time Thursday at 5 p.m. For more open sources, we'll see you next week.